God has blessed them and God gives to them what they need. And the Savior's emphasis here is how marvelous they are, how wonderful they are. He speaks about the flower and Solomon's temple in all its glory, Solomon's reign in all its glory, the king in all his glory with his gold and purple linen. And the Savior says, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flower is greater than Solomon, blessed by God. And then the Savior says, verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. Welcome to our program today. And it is our prayer and desire that the Word of God would be a blessing to you. The scripture tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 29, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Our Saviour is an encouraging Saviour. He's a comforting Saviour. Are you resting and depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ today for your salvation? Oh, that you would know that He is your Redeemer, and that as His people you would not fear, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale today for the first part of the message entitled, "Fear Not, Little Flock," and may the Lord richly bless His word to your soul.
When we consider the state of the world at present, and of course, if we went back 20 years, we may have possibly said the same things. There is no doubt that things are hard and difficult in many of the nations of the world. The economy is bleak, but especially when we consider the spiritual situation. The spiritual state of our land is very dark and very cold. No longer do we hear of great revivals from God as in days gone by, or a great desire by the population to hear the word of God proclaimed with power. Churches across this nation are small in number and growing smaller. Many have no doubt closed over the years. And the world seems to be eating its way through the Church of Christ as well. Gone is the purity of worship and the desire for worship. But let us not be disheartened, because we serve a great and a powerful God. Let us not be discouraged, dear believer, because He is still upon the throne. And in today's society, as believers, what are we to do? What encouragement can be given to us as we seek to live in this sinful and this wicked world? Consider the passage of Scripture that we have before us. There was a Puritan preacher by the name of John Gaspine. I had never heard of this man. I looked up a book that I have that is a directory of a lot of good Reformed literature. I had left my copy in Northern Ireland, and every time I preached over the past 3 years, I said to my brother, "Can you send me a photograph of this particular book and what it says under, say, for example, Luke chapter 12? And there he sent the list, and it went through the chapter, and it gave the various verses and what Puritans in their big collection of works had actually preached on this particular text. It was a directory for all of these things, and I missed having my own copy. And so it was republished earlier this year, and I was able to purchase a copy. And I looked it up, and this man, John Gaspine, came up. I never heard of him before, despite being well-versed in the Puritans. I never heard of him before. And I read his sermon on this particular text, and he referred to what we have here in Luke chapter 12. And he called it the summary of a precious sermon, a precious sermon by the Savior. And I thought on that. All sermons can be and should be precious to us. And we should be desirous of sermons that are precious to our souls. But when we think of the words of Christ and the sermons of Christ, those sermons of the Savior must be precious to our souls, because they are the words of our Master. and the words of our Savior, and the words of our Lord who cares for us. And so, dear believer, when we look at what we have here in Luke chapter 12, there's a warning about eternity. There's a warning about the soul prior to our reading in the opening verses of this chapter, in verse 16 especially. But then the Savior speaks about his people and the need to live for the Lord and to rest upon him and to seek him. And then in verse 22, he says, fear not, 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's great words in that text. And it really sums up the preciousness of what the Savior is saying. Fear not, fear not. If you're concerned about troubles ahead, if you're concerned about the circumstances of life, then fear not is a great phrase for your heart to hear. I remember as a young child and the circumstances of life, I remember going up the west coast of Scotland. My father was in Wales for a while serving the Lord, and we went to see him. We drove, and then we went up the northwest coast of England, and it was a long drive, probably maybe similar to driving to Calgary, slower roads perhaps, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11 hours of driving. And as we went up there, not too far from the ferry to take us back to Belfast, and my mother was in the car, my sister was in the car, and my brother wasn't born at this point in time. I was 7 or 8 years of age, and I remember dozing on the back seat. My seatbelt actually wasn't on. Because of the position I'd went in, seatbelts, I don't know if they were a thing 30 years ago. They weren't enforced maybe as much as they should have been. And I didn't have my seatbelt on. I remember that. And suddenly the car swerved from one side, hitting the barrier, to the next side and the next side. And I began to wonder what was going on. And I was going forward in the seat. And thankfully the Lord's hand was on me because I didn't have a seatbelt on. And I remember hitting the seat in front. I was absolutely fine, and no whiplash, nothing like that. And the car came to rest. My mother had in her desire to get us to the ferry and maybe make the earlier ferry back home, she had fallen asleep. It's so easy to do when you're driving. So easy to do when you're driving. But the Lord's hand was on us. But I remember getting out of the car. There was smoke coming out, and my mother said, get out of the car. And my door wouldn't open, so I climbed out of the window. And I went to the side and I leaned over the barrier and I just felt absolutely sick. And I was shocked by what had happened. And, you know, then I realized we were all okay. I realized the Lord's in control. There were people coming to help. And Mom was there. And so all the fears went away. All the fears went away. It was actually quite an exciting experience at the end of the day as a young child. All this care and attention you got. And you weren't injured, and the Lord was good. But there was that instant moment of fear and concern and the disbelief that I was actually in an accident, the first car accident I'd ever had. And I had thought others experienced this. I've never experienced this. And all these thoughts came through my very young mind. And I remember there, my legs were shaking, and then within a few minutes, I was fine. Because Mum was there. And, you know, she cared for us and others were taking care. And we can think of that spiritually. We have concerns about the future. We have troubles and trials and things that will make our knees, as it were, shake together. But yet the Lord is in control. Our precious Savior cares for his flock. We are to look at that word in verse 32. We are to fear not, for he is in control. And that phrase, little flock, little flock. Oh, there's love in that. There's love in that little phrase. Little flock. We are the flock. That means we have a shepherd, a great shepherd. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, again, someone who should be a symbol of love, a symbol of care within the family unit. That's what a father is supposed to be. And our Heavenly Father is such a Father to us, caring for us. Oh, these words the Savior uses, they encourage our hearts. They make us see the preciousness of what he is saying. And the Savior is laying before his disciples the concerns of everyday life. They're not to be caught up in these things. They're to fill their minds with important issues. They're to seek the kingdom of God. And they are to live for the world, or live for the Savior against the world. And there are many today, many Christians who seek the things of the world and seek power in the world and seek the possessions of the world. But what does the Savior say? Verse 31, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And dear believer, that is to be our priority. Our priority in life is to seek the kingdom of God, not the things that will one day vanish away, not to mix Christianity with the world, to live for the Lord, to be conformed, as Paul told the church at Rome, conformed to Christ, transformed by his power. And so there is instruction to seek the kingdom of God. But coming back to verse 32, we see this phrase, fear not, little flock, the Lord is the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist said. We can think of this term shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the shepherds in Israel. And he referred back, when we think of Jeremiah chapter 23, and words there that speak about the shepherds in Israel. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away. And there is this warning, and the Savior uses this in his Gospels to remind the people of God, to remind Israel, to emphasize to these shepherds that they were not the true shepherds of Christ. They were false shepherds. They were not meeting the needs of the people. But yet, we see here in verse 32, there is a great shepherd, one who cares for us, one who has his flock, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as the old Puritan said, there is a great preciousness in this sermon. It's a sermon of Christ. It's a sermon about Christ. It's a sermon, dear believer, that leads us to the wonders and marvels of Christ working for us through his gospel. And so I want us to consider this evening, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. And then, firstly, we see that the flock is precious to its shepherd. The flock is precious to its shepherd. Moving back for a moment to verse 27, there are a few illustrations here. Verse 24, the ravens. Verse 27 are the lilies. And the Savior says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flower of the field, the flower in the hedge, the flower that is in the bed growing. Flowers don't do the work that men do. Men toil, men sweat. Flowers do things a little differently. I'm not a botanist, nor the son of a botanist, and so I know very little about flowers. I did have an interest once as a child, but it was a fleeting interest that didn't last very long, and so I know very little really about flowers. But they grow. If you feed them, if you care for them, they grow. They grow. They do not have to toil like we do. They do not have to go and have clothing like we do, and go and work to pay for their needs like we do. God has blessed them, and God gives to them what they need. And the Savior's emphasis here is how marvelous they are, how wonderful they are. He speaks about the flower and Solomon's temple in all its glory, Solomon's reign in all its glory. The king in all his glory with his gold and purple linen. And the Savior says, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flower is greater, greater than Solomon, blessed by God. And then the Savior says, verse 28, if then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith. In other words, God provides for the grass, the flower, that lasts for just a little while. But you're his child. You're part of his flock. How much more will he care for you? That's the emphasis of the Savior here. The flock is precious to the shepherd. The flock is precious to the shepherd. We see that. Fear not, little flock. The world and its creation are precious to God, but how much more his people? Those who have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Those who've been redeemed. How precious they are to the glorious shepherd. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 20, and we've turned to this passage on a number of occasions. But here we have wonderful words. Verse 28. Again, drawing your attention to this. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, and to all the flock, the sheep of God, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And we see here the blessed preciousness of the flock of God. The blessed preciousness of his people and why they are precious. Dear believer, you are precious to the Lord. Part of his flock, you're precious to him. The flock is precious to the shepherd. Why? They were purchased with his precious blood. The blood of the Savior that was shed. The blood of the Savior that was poured out upon Calvary. And that flock is to be shepherded. And we see the great example of a shepherd in young David who cared for the flock. And for the Savior as well. Because in Hebrews 13 verse 20, the Savior is referred to as that great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. The one who is the perfect shepherd. The one who is the perfect shepherd. And so this flock is precious to him. Dear believer, you're precious to the Lord. This world may discourage you. This world may leave you downcast and disheartened. But yet you're precious to the Savior. There may be difficulties in your life and difficulties in your employment and difficulties with your health and difficulties in your family. But you as part of the flock are precious to the Lord. There may be concerns about some of the things the Savior is speaking of here, the food and the drink, and how we will clothe ourselves. But we're part of the flock that is precious to the Lord, and he'll meet our needs. He'll meet our needs. Christ's flock is a little flock. A little flock. We look at this world, we see the vastness of this world, and in comparison, the flock of Christ is a little flock. A little flock. A flock that finds itself much smaller than those around. A flock, however, that is dependent upon the Savior. That old Puritan said that God is the Father of the believer. Every sincere Christian is a child of God and hath God for his father. And he emphasizes that Christ was speaking to his disciples. And he was encouraging them. There's a great work that lay ahead. Much uncertainty for them in the service of God. And that is true today. There's much uncertainty in the service of God and living for the Master. And the Savior is tender-hearted toward them. He is caring towards his people. And the flock is tiny, but yet he is gracious to them and loving to them.
Spurgeon takes us today to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ in its sweetness, its fullness, its greatness, its faithfulness, passeth all human comprehension. Where shall language be found which shall describe his matchless, his unparalleled love towards the children of men? It is so vast and boundless that, as the swallow but skimmeth the water, and diveth not into its depths, so all descriptive words but touch the surface, while depths immeasurable lie beneath. Well might the poet say, O love, thou fathomless, abyss. For this love of Christ is indeed measureless and fathomless. None can attain unto it. Before we can have any right idea of the love of Jesus, we must understand his previous glory in its height of majesty, and his incarnation upon the earth in all its depths of shame. But who can tell us the majesty of Christ? When he was enthroned in the highest heavens, he was very God of very God. By him were the heavens made, and all the host thereof. His own almighty arm upheld the spheres, the praises of cherubim and seraphim perpetually surrounded him. The full chorus of the hallelujahs of the universe unceasingly flowed to the foot of his throne. He reigns supreme above all his creatures, God over all, blessed for ever. Who can tell his height of glory then? And who, on the other hand, can tell how low he descended? To be a man was something. To be a man of sorrows was far more. To bleed and die and suffer, these were much for him who was the Son of God. But to suffer such unparalleled agony, to endure a death of shame and desertion by his Father, this is a depth of condescending love which the most inspired mind must utterly fail to fathom. Herein is love, and truly it is love that passeth knowledge. Oh, let this love fill our hearts with adoring gratitude and lead us to practical manifestations of its power. We come to the close of our program today, and we thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak. We trust that our program has been a blessing to your own heart, and if we can be of any help, do contact us. Our contact details, the email address and phone number and website are found in the closing announcement. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.